The question was asked, when it comes to Hechsherin, if something is kosher, then why wouldn't a person eat it? So I want to begin differently than the question. I want to begin with a directive that we usually say. I heard it from other yeshivas for Chozrim B'Tshuva, and I think it's correct from Chom Meir and correct for most people in the Tshuva and the Gir process. And that is that any Orthodox Hechsher you should eat. Orthodox Hechsher is fine if it's the Rabbanut, if it's Rabbanut Rashit Yisrael, if it's Rabbanut Yerushalayim, it's an Orthodox Hechsher, you can eat it and enjoy. It's difficult enough to keep kosher, and a person shouldn't make it more difficult by adding stringencies to his life. That being said, so then the question is, why are there Hechsherim that, although they're kosher, some people prefer not to eat them? So in Halacha, we have levels of stringency, and we have levels of leniency. And there are areas where, although the halacha permits it, there is a preference to do differently. And this applies in almost every area of halacha. So let's take a simple example. Let's say we have a question. Let's say you're going to buy baked beans, okay? So baked beans. So let's say that one place takes the beans and says, we check a sampling of the beans, and these beans have no bugs, so it's fine. Another place says, we check every bean, and this bean has no bug. You could understand that that's going to cost a little bit more money to check every bean. But it could be that the first place is 100% right in what they're doing, that you don't have to check more than that. But you understand that the second place is going to have a higher level of kashrus. They're going to check every bean, even though it's unnecessary, but they're going to be... So that's where mehadrin, there's kosher and there's kosher le mehadrin. What mehadrin really means is, I'm not relying on leniencies, even though I may rely on them. So they had certain meats that were machlokas, whether there's a minig not to eat them or not. They're for sure kosher. There's machlokas if there's a minig not to eat them. So they had shechted them, and they had gotten mixed into the line of mehadrin meat, and they went and asked Rav Eliyashiv what they should do with it. So Rav Eliyashiv said, kosher, it's kosher. But according to the Chochmas Adam, there's a minig not to eat it. So you can't sell it as mehadrin. You'll tell me, but there are 50 rabbis who say it's permissible. Right, but when you're selling something to the market as mehadrin, what you're saying is, I fulfilled the greater number of opinions which you might worry about in halacha. Not that I fulfilled the halacha, but I fulfilled beyond that. So is there room for a person to say, well, I want to be more stringent and only eat mehadrin? There's room to say that. Is it the correct thing for a person to say when a person is coming out of Machon Meir? No, it's 100% incorrect. When a person makes religious life more difficult, a person is risking the basics for the sake of something that's just not worth it. You're eating Orthodox Hechsher, it's kosher. You're making your life more difficult by limiting what you may eat, and eating kosher in its own right is difficult, then you're risking your capacity to stick to the basic 613 of Shabbos and Kashrus, and the basics for the sake of what? We just explained that when you're eating something with an Orthodox Hechsher, it's kosher. And you're allowed to rely on them. There's nothing wrong. You're not doing any sin. Is there room for someone who wants to do more? Yes, when he's holding at a stage that kashrus is a given by him and Shabbos is a given by him, and all 613 is something that he's basically used to. It's second nature to him. And then he says, you know what? I wanna do something more. Fine, good for him. It's a nice thing to do. Again, provided that it's not at a too high a cost. But it's a stringency. Fine, you want to do it when you're holding there. But you have to remember that for most people coming out of Machon Meir, I would say all people, but I don't like talking that way, so I say most people. Most people coming out of Machon Meir, the 613 are hard enough, and it's not second nature. A person did not grow up keeping kosher. A person did not grow up keeping Shabbos, and it's hard enough to stick to those. And when you make it harder because you want to feel from... Well, you know what? You made it harder, and by making it harder, you've risked the basics. At the end of the day, there's only so much that a person can put into leading an Orthodox life. So let's put that strength into keeping the 613.
You always give that example, and people need to start at least one single thing to start to become more and more serious about their Torah approach. Why not start with kashrut instead of starting with other things?
No problem. Why not start with lashon hara?
Oh,
that's biblical.
Okay.
I have no problem. You want to be stringent? Be stringent. Lashon hara. You want to be stringent on something else? Onek Shabbos. You want to take a biblical mitzvah? Take a fun biblical mitzvah. Take Simchas Yom Tov. Buy steak every day of Yom Tov. No problem. You want to be stringent on that problem? Why does stringency have to mean you suffer? Be stringent on things you enjoy. Buy a good wine in honor of Shabbos. No problem. Buy a good wine. You also, it's a biblical mitzvah. Why? Why do you have to feel frum by suffering? Feel frum by doing positive.
Maybe you buy wine instead of buying a Rabbanut. You're going to buy a Madrin or going a Chatam Sofer. You're going to buy other thing. We eat. We are what we eat. And we're,
No problem. Have more kavanah when you make a blessing. Birkat HaMazon is biblical. You want to be stringent? Be stringent. I have no problem. Take Birkat HaMazon. Focus on every word. That's a biblical mitzvah. That's not...
That.
You, why not that?
All things you're saying, they're conducting on you eating. Because you say Birkat HaMazon because you eat bread. You drink wine for an extra bath because you drink wine. So you need to...
I'm trying to answer on your level. I'm trying to get as close as I can to your example while making it easier. I didn't say I would recommend any of these. I say lead a normal life and be calm and enjoy being a Jew. Don't make it hard on yourself. But if you want to be stringent, you're telling me you want to take one mitzvah, you want to feel like you're getting strong in it, no problem. Honor Shabbos. That's the Gemara's example. Yosef Mokir Shabbat. Yosef would always buy the most delicious food for Shabbos. Fine. If you can afford that, do that. In Kenya.
It's very interesting. This seems always a diminished situation of kashrut.
100%, because you have to realize that the area of Mehadrin is a problematic area. There's no one definition for Mehadrin. And the question is how much of it is real and how much of it is politics, and that's a hard question to answer. So this Mehadrin Hechsher says don't eat the shechita of this Mehadrin Hechsher. Something that happened in the last 6 months. I thought I was eating Mehadrin all the time. That Mehadrin Hechsher is telling me I shouldn't eat their shechita. What do you say now? So how Mahadran are you? I'd rather invest in something more definite. And I think that guys tend to underestimate the emotional difficulty of keeping Mahadran. Keeping kosher is hard enough. And I feel that people who are Chozrim B'Tshuva very often want to keep Mahadran because then they feel more frum. Not because they really understand anything about it. Not because they really want to be more stringent in keeping mitzvos. Because if they want to be more stringent, let them be more stringent on biblical mitzvos. I'm not sure that you're advancing in anything biblical between kashrus and mehadrin kashrus. I'm not convinced there's any biblical advantage there. So don't you think a person should invest in biblical mitzvos?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Okay, so I'm talking now on a halachic scale. But again, the real drive for what I'm saying is the price that I've seen that it takes. When a person decides to eat only Mahadrin, he's limiting the restaurants he could eat at, he's limiting the stores he could buy at, he's limiting the food he can access, and that makes life very, very difficult. And what I've seen is that we have large number of people who are chozel b'tshuva and get very excited, and then peter out, and then the question is, where do they peter out to? Where do they end up? And so I'd much rather a person end up with the 613. That's much more important to me than he end up with Mahadrin. That's not important to me. 613 is important to me.
Not certain things that, as you were saying, they might be Mahadrin in certain situations, but maybe it's not a good, there is Mahadrin situation, Mahadrin situation. But maybe there is all machloka, this is kosher, this is not kosher.
I'm still eating the meat that they say you shouldn't eat.
I trust
that Mahadrin actually. Everyone trusted until then. I think that they went too far. Obviously, I looked into it. I didn't just say, it's good, but I'm still eating it. If you came to my house, you ate it too.
I have no problem with your kashrut, but my rabbi was a shochet, and there was a certain level that we got created to have.
Fine, but again, I'm telling you, long term, keeping 613 mitzvot is a schut. It's the most beautiful life you can lead, and at the same time it requires strength. And the question is, where will you invest that strength? And it requires a lot of strength, and it requires stamina. And for a person to take on something that requires a lot of stamina, remember, you guys don't have a home you could fall back on. When a person starts keeping mahadrin, he has to ask, who can I eat by? That's not good for him. And then people end up with much bigger questions where they end up eating. When a person starts keeping mahadrin, he can't eat at any restaurant. He can't go out with all his friends. It affects his lifestyle in a much bigger way than other mitzvot. So that's why I say that for a guy, mahadrin is not the way to go. Not when a person is chozer b'tshuva. I always say, in 10 years, come back to me. The logic of 10 years is A, by then you'll already be accustomed to keeping 613. And after 10 years, you'll see if you really have the emotional stamina to take on the stringency. It'll be a much more based stringency. It'll be a much more realistic approach. And B, I hope in 10 years you'll be married. You'll have your own home. You won't be as reliant on going to other people's houses. Then taking on this chumra might be at a much lower cost. It might stem from a stable approach. And then maybe it's a right move for a person. Maybe. But at this stage of your lives, how many times did I see people who took on mahadrin end up sitting alone in their dorm room and not going away for a Shabbos, and then and not end up keeping Shabbos because they destroyed their Shabbos out of a stringency of mahadrin? So did they win or lose? I think they lost.
I'm telling you, I go to people's houses, and sometimes I hear people complaining, you know, too bad, I don't need Challah Israel. And you know, I go to a house, the person says, I discovered that when I changed to Challah Israel, just that when I bought something Challah Israel, I was not so allergic. I didn't have any allergic reactions. So, are we talking about a situation that's very easy? You go to the supermarket, you buy a thing that's extra, maybe, you know, maybe the variety of things you can buy is lower than that, right? But you know, in certain things, if you think, you know, why are you complaining about yourself? If I could, things are available out there. You just need to pay a bit more. So I can understand that some families,
You recommend have a preference.
I don't touch any look at anyone's house. But much more so when I realize that people they say, oh, if I could eat the Challah Israel, I'm thinking. Like, is there any political problem with this lecture or that lecture, or people just don't want to buy Challah Israel when they go to the store? Like,
Bezalel, life is tough enough. 613 mitzvot is enough work. Let's do the 613 and then worry about it.
What's the difference between buying a package of tenuva? It's only the rough tenuva and package of tenuva.
It's one more thing to worry about. I am saying that.
You are saying that.
I am saying if you walk into the store and they have mahadrin and non-mahadrin, I don't want you to think about it. Obviously, if it doesn't require any thought, so take the other one. But if it does require thought, then you have to remember that it's hard enough for people to remember not to go and eat Burger King. It's hard enough. How many times a year do people come to me and say, you know, I messed up. I ate a cheeseburger yesterday. You know, I messed up. I went into a non-kosher restaurant yesterday. That bothers me. That shouldn't happen. And you know why it happens? Because a person is not focused on the right things. I see people who are focused on all kinds of stringencies and mess up on big things. And that's in life, there's a limit to where you could be focused. I'm not telling you that the guy that was focused on mahadrin ate at the Burger King. No, he didn't eat that at the Burger King. But he calls me up and asks for a heter for an abortion. Wait a second. What about all your mahadrin? Where? Okay. So let's invest our kreiches in 613.
Does this mean that person is going to mistakes in their life? They can be very firm Jews.
Right. So let them invest their strength in the 613.
When I get an example of milk, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people that are married, have a family, they're religious for some years, and here they're complaining, if I could just buy mahadrin milk, okay, you live in a neighborhood that, you can go to the store and buy whatever you want to mahadrin.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe if his wife has to spend another 2 minutes at the store looking at the mahadrin, she's going to get fed up and say, you go to the store. Everything requires strength. In life, we have to decide where we're going to invest our strengths. And I don't think that for chozer b'tshuva, it is correct until his life is much more settled to invest the strength in that. And that's why you might say it's very easy. And I say yes, but there's only so much you can expect of a person. And being that this is kosher and that's kosher, leave him alone. Let him first get used to eating kosher.
No, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just giving feedback of people that they're complaining. But
I got a phone call 4 years ago. A guy ate by one of our students. Married, has a home, and the student relied on the Heter Mechira. So I get a phone call from this guy, could you please call him up and explain to him how serious the whole issue of Heter Mechira is, and that a person on his level shouldn't rely on that leniency. It's a certain leniency that Rav Kook, he wasn't even the inventor of it, it's a leniency that 400 or 500 years ago they invented. It's a problematic leniency in the laws of Shemitah. Rav Kook himself didn't want to rely on it, but felt that it was a preferred leniency to other options. And there's a big machlokas whether you should or should not rely on that leniency. There were giants who said you could. There were giants who said you shouldn't. Machlokas, okay? So the guy calls me up, without going into the details.
It's for speed, for the seventh year.
For the seventh year.
You sell your land to a boy, and then you can eat the fruit.
So this guy calls me up. And he says, could you please talk to them about stopping to eat Heter Mechira? We went to them for Shabbos. We didn't have a clue that's what they would serve us. And they're such fine people and everything. Okay?
That's the wrong approach to...
Slowly.
Ask cute.
No, I knew they were students of mine.
Sorry?
But he knew they were students of mine. So you know what my thought was? 6 months ago, I know the guy was eating pig. You're talking to me about Heter Mechira? That's what was going in my mind.
In 6 months, are we giving kashrut about this 6 months?
I'm saying, think about it. Think about it. They're tzaddikim that they're eating Heter Mechira. Leave them alone. And the same thing holds for general. People who did tshuva, look, Betzalel, you disagree with me, do what you want. But let's talk in 5 years, and you'll look back and have to ask yourself how many nerves this took of you. And if you didn't pay the price, another mitzvot. You're cool.
I'm just trying to realize your train of thought to support yourself on certain things.
Okay.
Perfect.